Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together to hear the word of God. May the Spirit be our teacher this morning as the word of wisdom, the wisdom from above that is full of peace and joy and mercy and right doing falls down upon us, fills us up with the word of God, the word that is spirit and truth. So that Father Jesus Christ would be magnified in our midst, and that you would be glorified by his magnification, and that each one would receive exactly what they need for the testing and trial, the temptations that come inevitably each day and each life. Father, may we all grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray these things in the matchless name of Christ, our great God and Savior. Amen. Carl's here. We can start. I've entitled the message this morning, Two Women. Here comes the family. Two Women, Sunday, August 16th. 2015. The first woman is wisdom. She's an excellent wife. We'll start out in Proverbs 31, verse 10, where we have a description of the wise woman, the virtuous woman. We call her the Proverbs 31 woman. An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is above, far above, jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. That is, she weaves fabric. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow. For her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates." So now to Proverbs 5. Which is our text. So you see wisdom, the virtuous woman, the fine woman, the fine wife. Well, Proverbs always encourages us to make a date with wisdom, Sophia, the first woman we're talking about. Now, the second woman you're supposed to avoid altogether. She's the adulteress. Proverbs 5:1. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion, and your lips may reserve knowledge. Discretion is very cautious or careful choosing, as the fruit of very cautious or careful thinking. Choosing what you think about. Casting everything else down. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's appropriate and precise. right thing said or done in the right way for the right reason. That's what discretion brings. It's never hasty. It's never impetuous. Rather, it waits for just the right moment. Timing is impeccable. Therefore, because it has all of these qualities, it ensures impact to either incite righteousness or to indict wickedness. So the second woman is the adulteress. She's not an excellent wife. She's a witch who casts a spell and turns mighty men to mush by flattery and sensuality. In Proverbs chapter 30, it says that the adulteress eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. That's exactly how they function in life, without any integrity. And this is not only talking about a woman of ill repute, it's also speaking of a system, a religious system, that is not exclusive to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have to beware of it in the last days. Remember Mystery Babylon, the great, the harlot, the adulteress, and the one who is guilty of all the abominations of the earth? Well, she's the adulteress, the system. So, verse 3, for the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. So what it's saying is the adulteress is not subtle nor discreet, as wisdom encourages us to be. She is rather provocative and alluring, seductive and flatters, hoping to entice and seduce her victim. Verse 4. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Not like the word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword. She's sharp as a two-edged sword. And that means you get a double whammy. Those who go to her get what she has. Disease. Consumption. Corruption of soul and body. Bad enough to get corruption of body, but to get corruption of soul and body, that's bad. Real bad. Make no mistake about it, the price you pay will be very great. That is, if you leave home and hook up with somebody else. Verse 5. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on Sheol. That is, she's dead while she lives. And her life is short and tragic. Those who she takes down by her promise of pleasure and ease get dis-ease. See the play? Dis-ease. And pleasure turns quickly to pain. 1 Timothy 5:6. She who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. It's true of men also, but it addresses women in this case. Those who take up with her are fools, because they will be attached by sexual union to the soul of one who is not well and end up caught in her web, bitten, poisoned, paralyzed, never to escape. In most instances, they never escape. Verse 6, she does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. She doesn't even know it. She seems to be happy, carefree, footloose, fancy-free. And though she does not know it, her ways will lead to great dismay and emptiness that cannot be remedied and is certain to get worse and worse. She will surely come to naught, to great dishonor and rejection in the end. Like the harlot Mystery Babylon, the great, those she enticed will hate her and kill her in the end. the end. That's Revelation 17, 16. The false religious system she represents entices lascivious souls. You know what lascivious is? That means that they're immoral and do things that are not convenient or expeditious. And they indulge the flesh, every desire of the flesh. And promises them freedom, but delivers them over to the devourer, the jailer, the executioner. By this distorted view of Christianity and the Christian life, they believe that they can do whatever they want. And because of that, they're weighed in the balance and found wanting. That means they don't have any righteousness, any practical righteousness, experiential righteousness, experiential or experimental sanctification. None. And that's what we're here for. To get that word in our soul so that we think right, choose the right things, and do the right things. By God's power, in God's timing, that's wisdom. The essence of wisdom is timing. The issue in God doing something for you or even miraculously intervening is not power, for he has all power. It's timing. His timing is perfect, impeccable timing. And so that's the essence of wisdom. So, like the lascivious contortionists in Jude, who are false teachers, they distort the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and turn it into debauchery. That's literally what they did. These are ever so subtle and are used to draw away disciples into this deadly swerve that's so prevalent today. It's not legalism today. It's licentiousness. It's lasciviousness. Where they use grace as a cloak for indulging the flesh. And it has no connotation of that whatsoever. Grace doesn't. Grace is the goodness, the kindness, the blessing and the favor of God upon every believer. And grace from the human side is gratitude, appreciation, recognition and appreciation of all that God has done. That's what it is. So when you're grateful, and you recognize and appreciate what God has done, what do? You have a holy life, not a hellish one. And it changes you from the inside out, not from the outside in. So you've got to give people a little bit of grace to change. God's changing them. It's a deep work that he has to perform. It didn't take you just a few days to get into it. And it won't take you just a few days to get out of it, either. The change comes gradually, progressively, and in the end, you might even resemble Christ in your character by the fruit of the Spirit, which is produced in you without any limitation. So, he goes on to say in verse 7, "Now then, my sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth." What he's saying is, and what I'm saying is, stay close to the word. Draw near to listen, to learn, to lean, and to live. God the Father exhorts his sons to listen and heed his warning, for he's not speaking in vain. Rather, he's saying, and what he is saying will save your life, your soul, in time. And perhaps your happy home on earth, not to mention your inheritance, your reward, and your future happiness. Verse 8, keep far away from her, and do not go near the door of her house. That means stay far away from her door. Don't look at her, don't talk to her, don't think of her, just say no. And be done with it. You have to realize that you're vulnerable. See, there's many sins that you can resist, but you can't resist that one, man. it says, flee fornication. Flee. It means run. Because if you stay, you might stay for a long, long time. Or you might not stay on the earth very long. Because her house goes down to Sheol. Her life goes down to Sheol. And you'll go with her. So here's my advice. Go home. Stay home. And appreciate what the Lord has given you. Though it may not be perfect. Neither are you. That is in terms of your experience. And yet it's better than that which lurks in the shadows and seeks to take your life. Because that's what it does. Exactly what it does. Verse 9. He says, or you will give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. Your vigor is your strength. It's your influence. Your potential impact. Your good name, reputation, and blessed status as a growing and progressive believer. You know how quick a believer can be ruined? By one thought and one decision. That is, as far as his impact is concerned. Thank God we can't lose our salvation because I'd have lost mine a million times. But I can't. It depends on God, what he's done, not what I do. Although, I seek to please him in everything and aim to please him in everything. And sometimes I just might do that if I operate in faith, trust him, rely on him, not for something sometimes, but everything all the time. That's the kind of life he's looking for. And without faith, it's impossible. And where's faith come from? Oh, from hearing. And hearing from the word of Christ. So it all comes from him. The only things he accepts are the things he does. He can't accept what you do. It's imperfect. Always imperfect. Tainted. Spotted by the flesh. Therefore, your actions are not well pleasing to him, but his willing and working inside of you produces is that which meets the standard of his good purpose and pleasure. So work out your salvation. That means work it out on that basis. See? And you'll be just fine. And God will be more real than you ever imagined he could be in your everyday life. So, don't fall prey to the plot of the wicked and the wicked one that underlies the agenda of the adulteress. The years that remain in your life are slated for blessing. Therefore, be careful not to waste a minute or give another thought to wanton pleasure, lest you be taken captive by Satan to do his will. 2 Timothy 2:24, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. You find me quarrelsome? Okay. But be kind to all. You find me to be kind to all? All right. Everything's yes. And amen. Able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. If perchance God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. That's believers doing the will, the bidding of the enemy, Satan. So, the chances are great that some here will face this temptation. Especially you handsome guys. And whether you succeed or fail depends upon your acquisition of wisdom. Heeding the warnings of wisdom. Having wisdom as your constant companion. She, wisdom, will guard you. watch over you and deliver you from harm's way. That is, if you embrace her. See, it's called her because the word is Sophia, and it's in the Greek, and it is a feminine noun and name, but it works well because you can have a great love relationship with Sophia and not enter into aberrant relationship or into adultery or anything of the like. So embrace her. Hold her tight. Never let her go. Verse 10. And strangers will be filled with your strength. That is, if you go to the adulterers. Go the way of the adulterers. And your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. No doubt, through divorce, all that a man has and has worked for and is blessed with by the Lord will at least be cut in half. Or worse, the little he has will be divided in half and no longer be enough for him or those who get the rest. It's generally the way it is. See, these kind of things make your life so much harder. Even if you hate your life and your own life, it makes your life so much harder. More unhappy, even unbearable. That is, it's your own hand and takes a toll. Way too high for you to pay. That's what my dad used to say to me. He said, that has a great price attached to it. When I would choose the wrong thing. He said, that has a high, you can pay dearly, has a high price attached to it. And how right he was, because he had wisdom. And I didn't. So, you don't want to live with what little time that you have left so that strangers can use your goods, own your property, while you end up with an empty bag. Verse 11, and you groan at your final end when your flesh and your body are consumed. In the end, without the wellness of wisdom, you'll age rapidly and bite sickness and sorrow. Was not intended for you. So cut it short. Cut it off. Run fast and far away. Return home. You're too old for riotous living, and the Father is waiting to receive you and restore you and return to you what is rightfully yours. Full status, full restoration. Why am I saying these things? Because I have a sense that someone needs this. Somebody. Somewhere, it'll hear it. See, in these last days, many will depart from the faith. Many will be seduced. And many will elect to leave wisdom behind, to seek pleasure and excitement. Don't do it. Please don't go there. Verse 12. And you say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart spurned reproof. See, the end is always bitter regret from hating instruction and resisting and rejecting reproof. Always. And you say, well, I was just cool toward it. I wasn't flat out hot in hatred toward it. It doesn't matter. If it's not first, it might as well be last. Verse 13, I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my teachers or my instructors. I haven't learned my lessons from any of the things I suffered or from any of my teachers that taught the truth, that spoke the word of God. All this could have been avoided. And the years that remain could be graceful and fruitful, but you would not listen and learn, and as a result, avoid unnecessary disaster. Verse 14, I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. See, this is what I mean. It can happen right in a church and does all the time. It's It's rampant in churches in the last days. Laodicean church in the last days. Where everyone is just so well healed in every way. They have money. They wear the right clothes. They go to the right places. They eat fine restaurants. Jesus says, but I'm telling you, your spiritual condition is not like your physical circumstances and condition, and your wellness. No. You're poor, pathetic, wretched, blind, and naked. You need to buy from me gold refined in the fire. There's so much impurity in your faith. You have to have that boiled off. White raiment, because your deeds are not acceptable, because what you do is just so superficial and cursory. You're nodding to me. You go to church, but you go to a church where I'm not even allowed to be there, where nobody ever mentions my name. And I'm outside knocking on the door. Who's there? Jesus. Jesus who? Let me come in. I want to dine with you. So we can sit together and fellowship and enjoy one another's company. But you would not let me in. But if anyone does, and he sits and dines with me here, I can tell you this, he'll sit and reign with me there and sit down upon my Father's throne, even as I overcame and sat down upon my Father's throne. That happens in the last days. So, verse 15, drink water from your own cistern. Not a broken cistern. It can't hold water. But the water from your own cistern, that means keep the fires burning at home. Rekindle love. Enjoy your wife. Wives, enjoy your husband. Well, how can I? He's done so many bad things. Forgive him. And you'll be set free. And maybe he'll forgive you. Because you think you're so much better than him. You're not. Your sins are just of a different variety. And perhaps you were instrumental in driving him away. And vice versa. You think that can happen? Oh Lord, can it ever? So, here's what you can do. Dan and Judy taught me this. Make each other laugh. Do something fun for a change. Here's another one. Once in a while, pray together. When you do this, it would be nearly impossible to argue, fuss, and fight. Exalt the Lord Jesus in your home. Remember, he's there in your midst, among you and within you. Don't forget. You could say, practice the presence of God. In other words, remember that he lives inside of you and he dwells among us. Grieve not the Spirit by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. See, Christ Jesus can make everything right again. I'm telling you, he can change your heart. Not theirs, yours. Verse 16. I'll recap it from 14. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, I won't get too graphic. Streams of water in the streets, they're all sexual metaphors. In other words, keep it at home. 17. See, I told you I wouldn't be graphic. Let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Intimacy is exclusive. Intimacy and autonomy is the key to a healthy loved one. That means you gotta live and let live. And you have to forgive one another. And you have to give people space and allow them to be who they are. hopefully, you'll see who they are in Christ. And you won't know them after the flesh anymore. That's always a problem. Knowing folks, especially those close to you, after the flesh. And that means that you just know they're going to do this and do that again. You just know it. You just know it. You just know nothing's going to turn out right. Pessimism has no part in a healthy spiritual life. But optimism based upon the promises of God's word. Not pie in the sky, but grace every step of the way. And the favor and blessing that accrues to Jesus Christ in his nth degree obedience and as our substitute, a satisfying sacrifice that God required to save us and take us to heaven. It'll get you all the way there. Nothing else will. If you could live a perfect life, given 1,000 lifetimes, which you couldn't do, even if it was Groundhog Day every day, you still wouldn't learn to play the piano. And you wouldn't please God no matter what. And therefore, Christ did it all. And he's everything to the Father. And the sole basis of your acceptance and here and exaltation. So, why should you, my son? Oh, I want to say this first. Make love, not war. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? That is, why should you desire and embrace a foreigner, one who has a different culture, a different belief system, different values, rather than one with whom you are one flesh? The mother of your children, an elect lady, though lately she may not be acting the part. Well, you weren't acting the part either. You know what? That woman that you married is still as beautiful, still as alluring, still as precious as she was when you met her, when you swept her off her feet. And you're still the man of her dreams. You just haven't acted like it for a while. Same with a woman. She hasn't acted lately like an elect lady, has she? Well, she's a responder. Your initiation hasn't brought the right response. The wrong initiation brings the wrong response. She's a responder and will follow your lead. Verse 21. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. That means stay on the narrow path that leads to life. Be among the few that find it. And make a beeline in order to finish well. Starting well is good, but finishing well is the ultimate objective. Verse 22. His own iniquities, indiscretions, sins will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin, the results of every false step. Make no mistake about it. Your decisions with regard to your spiritual life are very important, and they all start at home. That one, if he continues in verse 23, will die for a lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he will go away, go astray. See, it's because of the Lord's discipline that we endure. That means the only reason that we continue on is because we respond to his discipline. He disciplines and we respond to it. We stop, drop, and roll anytime we need to. We repent so that the Lord can relent in administering discipline. Discipline's not fun. It's not punishment as such. It's only administered to get us back under the tab of blessing. That's the only reason discipline comes. Because God wants to bless us, and he's not satisfied with beating us all the time. but he'll do whatever it takes to get us under the tap of blessing. He's a gracious and loving God, a giving God. But he's a God of justice and righteousness, and he's in charge of the family. And so don't buck the system. And don't trifle with God, the Father. So, it's because of discipline that we endure. So the scripture says in Ephesians 5:16, don't be fools anymore. Stop being stupid, it says. Literally. Moros, which is like, stop being a moron. But be wise instead. Making the most of your time upon the earth. That's great advice. I can hear that every day. Make the most of your time upon the earth. What are you doing? Are you just loitering? Hanging out? Or are you using your time and materials wisely? So that you might promote and participate in God's growing program. Sometimes he has to dung you in order for you to grow. That's his discipline. Dig around you and dung you, like the fig tree that didn't produce any figs. And then he gives you time, space, to absorb these things and to be enriched by them so that you can grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and glorify God. So, if you don't take advantage of the time that's given to you and make good use of it, your life will be shortened. Why? Because God has no use for you. There's nothing more he can do. When he determines that, there's nothing more he can do. That's not because you sinned egregiously. It's just because you did not continue in the Word, which is his direct access to your soul. And what the Holy Spirit uses to move you, motivate you, give you all the movements and motions. And to give you the material that you need and the thoughts that you need to make good decisions in life, wise decisions in life, to choose the wise woman instead of the adulteress. So, your life will be shortened because God doesn't have any use for you. That means you can't serve his purpose. All you can do is dishonor his name, his good name, the name of his church, the name of his son, Jesus Christ. So, in this case, you wasted your time and his precious gifts. So what do? We walk right by faith. We do right, take in the word. We act right, conduct our lives properly in honoring Jesus Christ, living on the word as he did, filled with the Spirit as he was from the moment of his live birth in human history, and us from the moment of our new birth. We need to maintain the filling of the Spirit's up to us. We just simply rely upon him, make a conscious decision to rely upon him every day. In Galatians 5:16, walk in dependence upon the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I think that's one of the greatest promises in the Bible for believer progressive sanctification. Walk in dependence upon the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that possible? It's not only possible, it's an absolute law of spiritual life. So try that one on, because you haven't, and you don't on a regular basis. You say, well, I'm going to be good today, Lord. Oh, sure you are. Probably be one of the worst days of your life. You say, I'm going to be good today. No, but I'm going to walk in the blessedness and be what you said I am. Not do, but be. Just be what you say I am. Complete in Christ. Filled with the Spirit. Son of God. A righteous one by the sacrifice of Christ. That's who I am. That's the real me. Nice to meet you. So, Every one of us is called ever onward and upward. Wisdom says elevate your thoughts. Start your day in heaven and stay hidden in Christ the rest of each day. And guess what you'll do if you do that every day? You'll leave behind a life well lived. And in the end, you will hear the Lord say, well done. Matthew 25:21 says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And in Luke's, it says, Luke's gospel, he says, you were faithful in just a few things, and I'm going to make you the ruler over 10 cities. How about that? So, remember what doing well is. You remember what doing well is? You only do well if you pay attention to the word as the only light in an otherwise pitch black world. Until the day dawns and the day star, Christ, arises in your heart. That's 2 Peter 1:19. For this reason alone, you were raised together with Christ and seated together with him in the heavenlies. That's where you are now. In union with Christ, and hopefully in communion with Christ. So today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And if you don't understand, say, Lord, teach me, show me how these things work, that I might have them and realize them and experience the great benefits they provide. Finally, we'll have a short message. Pray for me, I'm going under the knife tomorrow. Ask the Lord not to kill me. I'm having a rather complex hernia surgery. It's in my solar plexus right here. It's a surgical hernia from the year 2000. And it's really gotten bad because I lift too many heavy things and do too many things. It's gotten worse and worse, so I have to have it done now. I can't put it off any longer. And they said they'll keep me for a day because there's a lot of things they have to do in there to sew the muscle and close the breach in the muscle wall. That's what they have to do. I think Carl had the same thing, didn't you, Carl? Is it up here? Yeah. And he's never been right since. And I haven't been right till now. And probably won't be either in the future. But anyway, so pray for me. And pray that the Lord will fix what's wrong with me. And return me well healed, reinvigorated, and on fire. That's what I want to do. And Terry is going to teach in my absence, Pastor Terry Gump, which I anticipate will be a week, two services, maybe a little longer. It just depends. I don't know what to expect. So. Now, he's a fine and fervent teacher. He studies the scriptures tirelessly and also works a full-time job. And I'm sure that he'll be as weak as he can be and that the Lord will be as strong. Very powerful through him. And also, I want to announce that Judy Seligman will be teaching her ladies' seminar. Is this the fourth year or the third? I think it's the fourth, isn't it? Fourth annual ladies' seminar. She got some good stuff for this year about the virtuous woman and other things. I told her Proverbs 31 just makes sense to me, Judy. She said, I already have things planned for that. So we're on the same page as we usually are. And Dan Baxter 100%. Hey, did you ever listen to her messages, guys? Don't come. You ain't allowed to come to the messages live, but you can listen to them on Sermon Audio. They're phenomenal. They break me down. Said, nobody preaches, makes me cry except Judy. Sometimes I cried how poorly mine turned out, but now I don't. I let them alone. It's the Lord's business. They are what they are. And if you think they're really good, then to you they are. And if you don't, then to you they're not. But you got to take the good and reject everything that's evil. Cleave to that which is good. So, that'll be 4 consecutive Thursdays, Judy's Lady Seminar. September 3rd, 10th, 17th, and 24th. It's coming quick. So pass the word to any of the ladies that want to come. It's phenomenal. And I mean, the ladies, they don't even want to leave. They just hang around afterwards and just want to ask questions and talk and discuss the topics. I mean, it's phenomenal. And any of you guys want to come and bring your wives, you can come up back with us and eat pizza. And have fellowship. So, that's it for today. Thanks for your wonderful attention. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for doing these things, showing us these things, and for your promise to perform that which you have decreed, that which you have declared is good in your sight, good and acceptable in your sight. Father, help us to avoid the adulterous, that is, the false way, and the temptation to sin, licentiousness and lasciviousness, promises freedom but delivers bondage. Father, may we live large in the kingdom of God, even now, exalting Jesus Christ, and by so doing glorify your holy name. Vicky, if you would get ready, if I could have my ushers. Father, bless the offering as well. The final song in Jesus' name, amen.
Did you order the pizza?
Not yet, but we'll do. I'm giving you extra time today to go out and sweat.
Can we move this?
Yeah.
We can still use it.
Well, let me shut it off first, huh?